Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart, the website broadcast inspired by the Holy Ghost. And I thank the Lord for him. I can't do any work without him. Because Zechariah said, it's not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. By the spirit of the Lord, I can do all things through Christ. And by the spirit of the Lord, I can be guided into the perfect will of God. An imperfect man like me can do a work inspired by the Holy Spirit. And everything that the Holy Spirit has to do with is perfect. I give all the glory and honor to him, and I love him. I thank God for the privilege of the call. And I thank God for every one of you who desire to do all that's in his heart, all of his will. The will of God is good. And I noticed that every time the Lord do something, it's well thought out. It's well evaluated. So never look down on what God wants you to do. Everything the Lord gives us to do is important. If it wasn't important, he wouldn't have done it. God does nothing that's not wise. He does nothing that's not based on his love. He does nothing that's not right. Everything he do is holy. I asked him once what his definition was for holy. He said it's supreme purity. Supreme purity. A friend of mine once told me about a water fountain. And it had about six water filters on it before it got to the fountain. And he said the water tasted so good. It tasted like you're drinking air. Now, that water was pure. And they say that there's water that comes out of springs and some mountains. It's so pure, you can't see it. I've never seen it in my life. I just heard about it. People who explore caves have seen it. And they say it's so clear and pretty that you can't see it. You'll almost get in it before you realize it's there. And the holiness of God is supreme purity. So, he designed us to live in his image. Now, God is three parts like man is three parts. Spirit, soul, and body. And when the Lord first saw when he got ready to restore the earth. See, Genesis account is a restoration. He created it in the first place. But something happened to it. When it said then in Genesis chapter 2, and darkness was on the face of the deep, that means the earth was flooded. It had been judged. Verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Period. Then verse 2 said, and the earth was void and without form, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And it went on to say that the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth. Now, we have a spirit. That's the part of our makeup, the part of our being that talks to God. That's why when you hear the Lord, you hear him in your spirit, not with your natural ears. And there has been cases where God can cause you to hear with your natural ears. But primarily when he speaks to you, it's going to be spirit to spirit. You're hearing his thoughts in your spirit. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He that has his spiritual ears open, let him hear. That means that we can open our spiritual ears at our will. We can hear the Lord. But to detect him, you have to receive his word. So that when he speaks, you'll know his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. A stranger they won't follow. And there are Christians who have heard all kind of things, all kind of religions, thoughts of men. But those voices were strange, and they didn't like it. They didn't know why. Even there are children that grew up in the households of false religions. And they wanted nothing. When they decided in their own heart, when I get old enough to do my own thing, I don't want anything to do with that fault. They knew that something was wrong with it, but they didn't know what. They didn't believe it was of God. But when they heard the gospel, it got their attention. And I heard all kind of things by the time when I was old enough to understand things. My dad was a pastor, and I heard of different types of religions, and one of my friends was a Jehovah Witness, and then that was somebody I knew that was a Muslim in the, you know, in the days of the Black Muslim movement. People try to get you in there, and people love for you to agree what they agree with. But when they said these things, it didn't make it, you know, what stood out to me was Jesus. He left heaven, became a man, and died in my place. That love stood out far above everything else. All the lies of the serpent. Everything else is nothing but serpent mischief. All the other religions, the thoughts of men that they don't need to be saved, you know, all the wrong things. It, to me, even as a child, I said, Jesus loves us. Yes, it was his love that stood out to me. And I had godly parents, too. I saw their lives. I was very encouraged by the way my father was very dedicated to the ministry. And he was the kind of ministry that did right. He did his ministry right. He was true. And my mother was a blessing to him. And my dad was a military man. He survived World War II. And he was very serious because of what he'd seen in the war. And he had a love and passion for God. And he loved God's work. And he took it serious. I said, Dad, let's go fishing. He said, no, I got to study on Saturday. And most Saturdays, he'd study. And when we did go fishing, it would be during the week after work. But he was a good man. I love him. When, you know, our examples are very important. So those who mentor us, our first authority figures, they shape the way we see God. But some people, they'll run after anything. You know, they love this world. When people will listen to darkness, there's something about darkness that they like. And when I would see movies on TV, you know, horror movies or any kind of movie, if a man cheated on his wife, it ruined my appetite for that movie. You know, there was something in me that wanted right. And I wasn't a Christian yet, but I did want what was right. And I believe God put that in my makeup. I don't know how he does it, but I know one thing. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that I'm on his side. I love the light and I hate the darkness. I'm not afraid. I don't, anything that, you know, I call a spade a spade. A lying religion will kill you. You'll put your trust in it you'll end up rejecting Jesus and you'll go straight to hell. And some people, you know, there are so many people, they don't like to teach that way. Well, people are making choices by what people teach. And I will not be one of those who teach wrong. Because you do have to give an account for what you teach. If you compromise with darkness and you preach darkness, you got to give an account for the souls that listen to you. Now, everything that God says is important. Everything that God does is important. And there are some Christians that don't, they trust their will more than they trust his. They trust like I said earlier, if people will put up with darkness, there's something in the darkness that they like. So, and I saw it true in others. And even people that love God, there were some things that they would put up with. And I knew that God, that Jesus plainly taught against it. He said, if a man looks on a woman and lusts after, he's committing adultery in his heart, even though he didn't touch her. I'm just using it for an example. And other things, if you call your brother a fool, and the word says, how can you love God who you've not seen and hate your brother who you have seen? So these were things I said, well, I got some work to do. I said, Lord, I can get very angry sometimes. I said, I want to know how I can do what's right in your sight and love people like you love people. Because I don't want to call somebody a fool or hate my brother or lust after a woman. I want everything to, I don't want the darkness. I don't want no form of it. But at the time, that was something I just didn't know how not to do. But I knew I didn't want it. And if the devil has to tempt you with something, that means that you're against it. If you're for it, he don't have to tempt you anymore. You'll agree with him and fall. But I resisted it with all I knew. But I wasn't satisfied. So I said, Lord, I want you to teach me how to hate sin like you hate sin. And what happened, I was praying and asking the Lord, how do I, as a regular old man, go beyond what I see into what you see? How do I do these things? How do I get to the point where I hate sin with the same intensity you do? So I prayed for it. Now, Charles Capps used to teach about confessions, things that you say. And I have never made a change without speaking what I wanted by my faith. When I learned that, you know, that I could believe God if his word abided me and I abide in his word, I could ask what I will and it will be done, according to John 14 and 15. When I read those scriptures, I said, now, most people want better cars, better clothes, houses, jobs, money, whatever. And they'll ask God for all those things all the time. And that were things that I needed and I prayed for that I was serious about, willing to work for. And the Lord blessed me with those things. Now, the same way I attained things, I said, I really need to know how to love my brother. How to love my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And how to love contrary people so I can win them. And I want to know how to hate all the things that the enemy would try to tempt me with. So I started, in order to cooperate with the word of God, I started saying with my mouth that I hate those deeds. Everything that's not like God got to go. I would say things like that and mean it. And then I turn around and ask the Lord for the wisdom of how to do it. How the logic so that my mind would process things the way his does. And he taught me all kind of things. And everything that he taught me was already, it was biblical. It was right there in the word. You know, the last broadcast we talked about when Jesus taught in Mark 11, verse 20 through 25, he said, if you believe and doubt not in your heart. Now, that when he said, doubt not in your heart, that's like you rejecting the doubt. That means you can control what you let in and what you let out. You can control what affects you. You can control whether you enter sin or reject it. You can control how you process what you see. You can control whether you want to love somebody or not. And when I first realized that, I wasn't used to it. I didn't know that I was that the Word of God gives me the power to control my own emotions and control what I love and what I hate. So when I said that I hate the ways of the world, and the world is defined by the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And the order, I think, was the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. If I can hate that, I can hate everything that's of Satan. And that became my goal. And when the enemy would tempt me, I would get mad at him. And then I would say that I hate whatever it was he tempted me with, or the condition. You know, if it's a woman beside my wife and he's trying to tempt me with it, I would tell him I hate it, and I meant it. And then I would command him, always command Satan. I would say, you can't ever tempt me with that woman, and you can't ever tempt me tempt her with me. Then I would pray as a priest. I would say, Lord, help me to never, ever be tempted with that woman, and bless her to never be tempted with me. And help me to see her like a sister, and help her to see me like a brother. Even if I didn't know her, even if she didn't flirt. But if the devil tried anything, that's how I'd handle it. So it became true. And it by speaking it, it works. People, it's hard to deal with. People, men, you know, the parts, guys that would give me the wrong parts. I would pray for them. And I would tell Satan, you can't use them to give me wrong parts next time. And, you know, I pray and ask the Lord to help me so I could, the way I made money was I'd have to fix many cars to make decent money every week. So I didn't need to be running from parts store to parts store with the, you know, taking back the wrong parts. Everything that could frustrate me, that the enemy could use, I spoke against it. And I commanded Satan so he couldn't use people, you know. So people don't always put their best foot forward. And sometimes the enemy will cause people to feel just lazy, like they just don't feel like going back there to look and make sure it's the right thing. Or you may get somewhere and the part is a core, which is a part, a used part, or a bad part that somebody brought back and they put it in the new box, and the man didn't look and see what it was and sold it to you. These are things that the enemy could use as an attack. And, you know, and I know things can get by people. It's not always the enemy. But the enemy will use whatever he can to frustrate. Now, this is why I say the enemy so much. The weeks that I had to minister is when the most foolishness would happen. If I didn't have to preach the word, things like that didn't normally happen. It was rare. But let's say I had to preach at a church somewhere. And I'm meditating on the word of God. So the enemy tries to use things, situations to distract me. And I had to learn to fight him. So I asked the Lord how to, you know, things I didn't know I had to ask the Lord about. That's why it's good to ask questions. If you ask the Lord your questions, he can give you his answers, and you'll know how to defeat your enemy. You'll know how to love your brothers. You'll know how to deal with people when they are the most, when they can be very contrary. And then customers, that if you fix something and it didn't turn out right, some people, you know, they think you're not going to come back. They think you, you know, that you just got their money and you left. And so people can be frustrated, but I would always go back. If it was my fault, I'd fix it. If it was something I didn't see, I'd make it right. And sometimes it wasn't even my fault, but I would make things better. The Lord taught me how to deal with people in business. And how to love my brother. People are not always easy to love. The Lord can help you in practical things. And this is what wins souls. And the enemy knows that. The enemy will steady, he will try to stop you. But you, if you have the determination to do all of God's will, keep it. The word of God gives you the strength to choose God's way. And you can change things in your own being, in your heart, in your mind, what you will do, what you won't do. One of the hardest things that I had to learn was to say no to people and not overcommit myself. And I had to, again, so many people would try to get me to commit because they could tell that I had character and I wanted to do right. So if they could get me to say I'd be there on Friday, then they felt comfortable that I would be there on Friday. But the problem was so many people were doing that, I couldn't always keep my promise. And then the Lord told me, he said, stop committing yourself. Stop overcommitting yourself. It's doing more harm than good. And he helped me see what's really going on. Now, loving people sometimes requires management. The way you manage your time and the way you manage your life. And if you work too much, you're not going to be any good. The hardest weeks that I would have in business was the weeks after I worked on the weekend. Now, in the Word of God, he said, you have 6 days to work. On the seventh day, don't do any work. The seventh day is Saturday. I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist by any means. I'm just a Christian. But the principle of resting your body and your mind is good. When I would take time and rest, I'd come back stronger. I would be fresh. I could think. I could make better decisions. It's no different now. And I work so much during the week now that I try to have all my work done so that on Saturday I don't have to do any work. And I have so much to do that I have to just stop and walk away from it and wait. And the way I take a day off, I just don't promise that I'll do something on the weekend or whenever I want to take a day or a vacation. I just don't promise it'll be ready. And I tell them what I can do and what I can't do. And that's that. If they can wait, they can wait. If not, I told them what I could do. You have a right to do these things, and you have to, especially if you have a family that depends on you. You can't just overwork, and just like, you know, you can't oversleep. You have to balance is good. And God is more than all that work. And I work to support this ministry that God has given, and you know, it requires a lot. So I do it, and I don't mind. I love it. But whatever you do, you have to count up the cost and follow God. He'll give you your format, what you can do. You have to think about what you want to do, what you will do, what you won't do. And that's what God can work with. Now, another confession, one of my latest confessions is that I want to do all that's in his heart. I will do all that's in his heart. Now, God doesn't leave anything out of your life. I can trust him. I don't mind writing him a blank check. And I say those things against the times he may give me something to do that I may not really be willing to do. But from saying that I will do all that's in his heart, when he say do something, I do it with the right attitude. I do it with enthusiasm and determination. And I know that it's going to be good because God is good. I trust him with my life. And he'll use me where he can use me. I'm not fit for everything. But whatever he wants to do, whatever really needs to be done, he can train me. Also confessing that I will do what all that's in his heart. When he's trying to train me, I'll cooperate. Because I've set my destiny to obey him. When you set your destiny by your words, see, we live by words. We make all of our decisions that last by words. If you can say it, you can perform it. Even if you don't know how. If you can say, you know, sometimes I was determined to learn things that I didn't know. And I knew I didn't know how to do whatever it was. And I knew that I wanted to. But when the Lord would tell me, he may say something that I'm not used to. And in order to cooperate, I would say that I have the knowledge of God concerning this thing. And then I you know how the German Shepherd, he point those ears up when something's got his attention. I throw my ears up. My spiritual ears are open in case somebody say that wisdom that I need, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you through others. And he'll speak to himself. And whatever scriptures he put on my heart, I study it. And I'm always got my ears up for that answer. And eventually I receive it. I always do. Whatever I want to learn, I always learn it. There were things about healing I wanted to know. And, you know, in some of the previous website broadcasts, about two or three website broadcasts ago, the Lord had, I shared how he said, he taught me that doubt can exist in different parts of your being, you know. And in other words, when Pastor Webb laid hands on my nose to, for my, you know, to, against the allergies I had, I was healed. And my nose was not used to being healed. And my nose was expecting to run as if I had allergy problems again. And the first time I lost the healing, because if doubt exists in your being, once it gets in your heart, then you lose your healing. So seeing everything of Satan works like living. And I didn't know that doubt could, I just never thought about how doubt can, it can be in your body and enter, you know, you can, you're looking for it, your mind isn't used to that healing and your body's looking for the symptoms. And once that doubt get in your heart, then you lose the healing you had. So now I knew how to combat it better. And I was able to enjoy my nose not running longer. And everybody's nose will run sometime, but it's not like it was. And I thank God for it. Also, getting enough sleep will help. You know, I really don't sleep enough. But the healing of God can remain. You know, you do what you're supposed to do. You know, this is a word. Everything is built on the principle of sowing and reaping. So if your life is out of balance somewhere, some things can happen. It's just like Paul, he was talking about, I forgot the guy's name, Onesiphorus. He almost died because he was doing the work nobody else would do. He overworked himself. And he was encouraging Timothy to get, you know, to help him, how to that he needed to rest. We can live out of balance trying to do God's will. But in following God, you can receive the wisdom to slow down, do it his way. Overworking is not his best. But it's so much to be done. I can't say that sometimes it's not necessary. But overall, we need a balanced life. And God is very well organized and well balanced. Sometimes Jesus wanted to just go and spend time with the Father. And then a multitude came. Out of the blue, over the hill, the multitude would come. And he had to preach all day again. I mean, and it happens that way. Sometimes when I come home, I'm tired. And I want to go to sleep and get ready. And somebody will call with an emergency. And sometimes I help them. Sometimes I just need to tell them what to do. But, you know, God is good. He'll be with us no matter what. But in the worst conditions and in the worst of times, he's right there with you to help you to go forward. And it's best not to ever fear. Don't fear the worst. Don't fear that God's going to call you to somewhere you don't want to be. Don't fear things like that. God is practical. He's going to have you to do what you can do. He's going to have you to do something that you would love to do. And if that thing takes you somewhere that you normally wouldn't go, if the desire to do his will is in your heart, it won't even be a problem. But a lot of people, they don't draw near to the Lord because they're scared he might give them something to do that they don't want to do. God is good. He won't do anything that's not wise. He will not do anything that's foolish. He won't waste your time. He respects you, just like he wants you to respect him. He cares about you. He loves you. He wants to see you blessed. He wants you to be happy in your life. And he'll show you things that need to happen, a need that you can fulfill in him. And then he'll turn around and help you help others with his strength, not yours. You know, it's not by power, nor by might, but by his spirit. And I love people. So acting on my love to help other people is a blessing to me, and God rewards me for these things. Doing God's will is not it's not a burden. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So don't listen to the lies of the devil that you're going to have a hard time when, if you write God a blank check. Don't be afraid to write God your blank check. He will not waste your life. He loves you. And he will anoint you, and he will give you a purpose, and you will fulfill it, and it will work, and people will live. And that's how I know him. And all the wonderful things and teachings that he gives, things he's given me to write, I love it. It works together to make life better for everybody who can receive it. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to teach you, train you. You know, just enjoy his presence and his love, and he will guide you, and he will cause you to do what's necessary in these days with the time we have remaining. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.